At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry in for Boomer this morning. Want to join the show, 888-808-1019. So I'm really curious to hear your opinion on this particular thing, because there are two things that are fighting against each other. One thing that I think would bother you, and one thing that I think would have no impact on you. And they both are in the same realm. So I want to see if you're not impacted by it or you are impacted by it. So your favorite baseball player of all time
is? Daryl Strawberry.
Don't even think about it.
Right. Don't even think about
it. No.
So Pete Alonso breaks Daryl Strawberry's record. He gets the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He writes a bunch of stuff on the baseball. Signs a baseball. Says Pete Alonso, 20, home run number 263. Mets franchise home run king. There's three other words on this baseball. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
Is it? No, I don't know.
So I'll say this again.
It's LFG?
No. So it's Pete Alonso, 20. Home run, number 263. Mets franchise.
This is 253?
Sorry. My apologies.
That's 253.
Right. Mets franchise home run king. Three more words with an exclamation point at the end of it.
Oh, I didn't see this. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to do it. One of those words is straw. The last word is straw.
I beat straw?
Worse than that.
Worse than that. Well, there's nothing that... That's fine. I mean, he did beat them. I don't know.
Down goes straw.
Oh. That's all right.
Yeah, I thought you'd get mad.
No. You know why I don't get mad? Because Daryl hit 252 home runs for the Mets. It should have been 400, and he'd be the first person to tell you that. And his career was good, should have been Hall of Fame-like. He'll be the first one to tell you that. So, no, that doesn't bother. I like Pete. I actually think he's been a fun Met, as you know. He's been a great Met. He's goofy. He's productive. It's all those things. He loves the fans. He loves playing at Citi Field. No, I actually have no issue with that at all. Daryl Strawberry, for me, going back to my, and I don't know what it was about him. You know, you have these types of players that, you know, for you, it's someone else. For Fleegs, it's someone else. For me, it was him. When he was up, I would stop what I was doing, and I wanted to watch him hit. And I remember going to games. I would not miss an at-bat. Watching on TV, even when he was with the I told this story too to you. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I think I did. When he was with the Giants for a very brief period, the Giants were playing in Philadelphia, and I grabbed my stupid transistor radio to get the Philadelphia. It was through static, but I heard it to hear his at-bats. I loved, I don't know why, I loved the guy as a player. Read his book, learned about his time at Crenshaw High School and his upbringing and when he was drafted in Tidewater, and I just love the guy, but no, that does not bother me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incredibly stupid to put that on the ball. That's what I think. I don't think that it's totally disrespectful or horrible or people should be angry about it. I just think it's really stupid and unnecessary.
Oh, it's unnecessary.
It's dumb. There's no reason for it at all. And also, you're talking about like a franchise record, so it's all the fans of that team are also fans of Daryl Strawberry when he was a Met and doing amazing things. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you imagine Mark McGwire, like, forget about the steroids for a second. Imagine Mark McGwire signing his home run ball, and it's saying, "Down goes Raj," when he broke the record, or Barry Bonds. Down goes Hank.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, no, but that's him. But you know why? It's him. He's a goofball, and that's silly. It's actually got Pete Alonso written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a goofball, but I guess he's like a big dumb animal, you know?
I kind of like a big teddy bear. That's kind of what he is. You know, he goes out there, he hits home runs. But whatever.
I mean, I'm telling you right now because do you think there's more Met fans now that remember David Wright than remember Daryl Strawberry? Yes. Were you at that point?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, because Daryl, you got to think, I mean, he had the Dodgers, the Giants, the Yankees at the end. You got to go back. You're going back to the mid to late 80s for his time with the Mets in 1990. Like, that was it. So if that's the, was it 89 his last year? I forget whatever when he went to the Dodgers. But we're talking 35 years ago now.
Right. So you could put it this way. Like, every Met fan alive probably knows David Wright in 2025.
Sure. Not every Met fan alive knows Daryl Strawberry in the 80s.
So let's say he broke David Wright's home. Like, David Wright had the record. And I know he passed David Wright in this whole thing. But had the record and wrote, "Down goes Captain Wright," or "Down goes David." There'd be a lot of pissed off Met fans.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. They honored him this year?
The reason why...
Retired his number, down goes Dave?
The reason why, to me, it's not that big a deal is because of his personality. Like, that's just him. Now, if it was... Let's say it was Jeff McNeil. Who's kind of, you know, crotchety and, you know...
One of those words popped right in my head I'm not allowed to say.
Right, but he's got, like, that attitude about him. He doesn't have that light-hearted personality and face and goofball-like figure. It's a little different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how about this? Let's say it was Juan Soto.
No, you can't do that.
Not yet. But I'm just saying, if it was, like, you know, years down the line, down goes Pete.
Well, it depends on how does he get there. Have they won along the way? Has Soto ingratiated himself to the Met fan? Is Pete still here? Is Pete in the last, you know, next 5 years, is he playing in Cincinnati or San Francisco? I don't know.
And I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than it is. It's not something I'm trying to do. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but I just think it's unnecessary and stupid. It's just a dumb thing for him to do.
At the end of the day, Daryl Strawberry is still a World Series champion with the Mets. Pete Alonso is not.
Bingo. That's right.
That will never be forgotten. I mean, that's why the 86 Mets keep coming around, because it's been a long time since this new Met group of the last 40 years has done what they've been to the World Series. They ain't won the World Series.
Yeah, I wonder if this team figures it out and, you know, Pete Alonso catches the final out of the Mets winning the World Series in 2025, that he'd get that ball and write on it, "We're better than the 86 Mets." Down goes the 86 Mets.
You got to win two.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You got to win two.
Yeah.
No way. That's why the 94 Rangers will live on forever. As years go on and the Rangers continue to not win the Stanley Cup, we will continue to see Mark Messier and Brian Leetch and Mike Richter, the same way, you know, you think about the Yankees. Long time since they've won now. That's why Bernie and Mariano, they keep coming around, because ain't no one won since.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. 09 they won, but you get my point. It's a long time since they've won, too.
Down goes Straw. An idiot.
Yeah, well.
It's just so stupid.
I agree.
I mean, and I always will have a soft spot for Pete Alonso. Every Met fan will. But that's just stupid.
No, it's goofy. I get it.
How do you feel about that, Fleeks?
I'm bothered, and I have no recollection of Daryl Strawberry ever playing for the Mets.
What is it? Why does it bother you? In what regard?
Because why put, like, it seems like this is supposed to be a truly positive moment. Every Mets fan is happy. This is a record we wanted a homegrown guy to beat forever. Just don't mention, like, it's not like there were three lines and he had to fill in the blanks and he couldn't think of something on the spot.
Yeah.
Just don't write anything else. 253.
I get it. To me, if it was anybody but him, it would probably be more bothersome. That's
like,
just
I love
him.
Pete. I was wearing the jersey here yesterday. Like, Pete's one of my favorite Mets ever. It's just, there's no reason to add that to this moment.
I don't think it's that big a deal. And then no one loves Daryl Strawberry more than me. I just don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah. And it just feels so Mets, like there's always one little tiny thing tarnishing anything good.
Well, I'll tell you what also compounds this is that they've lost 12 out of 14
Correct.
Games.
Correct. Absolutely.
And they're free falling.
Yeah. And they have been for 2 months. I mean, it's longer than the 12 out of 14. It's 2 months. Aside from the thing about this. What is their winning streak if you take that? What is their record if you take out that 7-game winning streak over the last
probably
month?
Horrible.
Oh, God, brutal.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess that's really where it would come from. Is like, this is one of the few moments we've had in the last 6 weeks or a month that we've really enjoyed. And you have to write something dumb on the ball like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, it could have been worse, you know.
It could have been a lot worse.
Could have made, like, wrote a political statement on there or something.
And
you know?
He didn't. He did a very Pete-like thing, that's all.
Yeah, let's go to Jimmy in Manalapan. What's going on, Jimmy?
He could have made it even worse by saying, suck it, straw.
Now, that would have bothered me. All jokes aside, now that would have bothered me. Down goes straw. He beat him. Suck it, straw. Yeah. That would be a problem for me.
Up yours.
And disrespectful.
Up yours, Daryl.
You're right. Now you're hitting on something.
Well, yeah. Gee, how about if you break Imus's record for years doing mornings at the Fan?
I mean, I would never write down goes Imus. Like, listen, I make fun of Mike and Chris and Joe and Steve and all these things, these guys that I grew up with, and make fun meaning, like, you know, I'll do their voices or mimic them, whatever. But one thing I realize is I'm not sitting here without their success. Like that, like, no matter how much I do a Mad Dog voice or a Mike voice or whatever, I fully understand. And that's one thing that I think Mike didn't understand about me was the fact that, like, I don't know if it was coming out of the Craig thing where they were battling, but, like, I was just doing the voice like I do everybody's voice. Like, I'm doing a Charles Barkley voice or a Joe voice or a Evan going, bah, 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 just doing a voice.
Todd Bowles.
But
Mike
I've
Tomlin.
Always, like, I've always respected Todd. Right, I mean, you could go on at Eddie.
Yeah.
God, on and on and on. But, like, I've always respected the people that have come before me. I wouldn't have a job doing what I love without those guys setting the foundation for this. So I wouldn't write something like that.
I mean, I think Boomer is next year will
he might be.
Tie him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy to really think about.
And you've got a shot.
If radio
is still here.
Yes, that's true.
Some way, shape, or form.
And you'll be long retired.
Yes.
Congrats. What was your name again? They say we work together.
He won't forget you.
I don't remember. Keith is in Suffolk County. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Missed you guys last week, but I'm glad you guys had fun golfing.
Oh, thanks, Keith. What's on your mind today, man?
Well, talking about Pete Alonso, I mean, I think he really wants to be here. And we're all strawberry for how great of a player he was. With all the mistakes he made, I think Pete just said down with straw, like, you know, here we go with a new generation of Mets players.
Yeah, and we've had new generations of Mets players, and I just you know, sometimes you don't need to read into something. I think this is one of those cases where he just wrote something goofy and didn't think anything of it. That's what I think.
Yeah, right. And it hits on a couple of things. One, the fan base is rattled at this point to begin with.
100%.
And like, it's like, why did you have to do that? It was like a special night. Why do you have to go and you know, if they're perceived it this way, disrespect someone in Mets history? It's just stupid. You know, and I also think it goes like this is also going to be one of these generational things where the old or Mets fan is going to be like, what a punk. And the younger Mets fan is going to be like, who cares? You know, like,
yeah,
big
I
deal.
Mean, listen, I'm not a younger Mets fan. I'm an older Mets fan and a Darryl fan. I don't care. If it was suck it straw, I would care.
Suck it straw.
But down goes straw. That's okay. It's fine. And again, and part of that to me is the awareness of what Darryl could have been. That's all.
Well, Eddie's an older Mets fan.
Are you bothered by it?
Not bothered. I do not like it, though.
Okay.
But yeah. Not like, is it going to, am I going to think about it like 10 minutes from now? No.
No. But yeah, the best way that I could put it is it's dumb and unnecessary.
I agree with that first word.
Yeah.
But that also fits the character of Pete Alonso. Yeah. Just, I don't mean dumb. I mean, just like, whatever.
You know what I mean by dumb.
No, right. I'm not saying,
like, saying his IQ is dumb. He's just like,
right.
Like, that's why I say, like, big dumb animal. Like, he's just walking around like, oh, you know, going throughout his day.
Doesn't like, seem like he's got a care in the world.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Let's go to, I could just see the New York Post headline now. You know, WFAN, it was called Pete Alonso.
No.
Dumb.
No.
I mean, I'm just
not
saying.
Not what we're saying.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think that this particular action of his in writing this on the ball was dumb and unnecessary, but he's not a dumb man. King in Hartford, Connecticut. What's going on, King?
Good morning, Gio and Jerry.
Hey,
welcome
King.
Back.
Long time, man. What's up, brother?
So, you know, Soto's got a 15-year contract. And he's going to break that record, there's no doubt. If he stays with the Mets,
he's sure better. Oh, God, if he doesn't.
So he writes on the ball, the iceberg has melted.
It's terrible. It's just, talk about dumb. Wow. The iceberg has melted. That's what he wants Juan Soto to write on the ball and he breaks.
Or maybe the polar bear is extinct, which could very well happen by the time he breaks the record.
Wow. This is where we're at. Did you hear the calls? Did you, I guess Dog had a problem screaming on ESPN or Sirius or something about Gary Cohen's call, said it was over the top?
No, I didn't. You know, it's funny because I saw it when we were out there having dinner, so I didn't actually hear it.
Yeah, I
can you play it real quick, Eddie? The Gary, I'm assuming we have it in the system.
I heard it. I thought it was not his best.
And Pete drives one to deep right center field, headed back toward the wall. It's out of here! Out of here! Pete Alonso stands alone! The polar bear on his own private iceberg! Pete Alonso, the most prolific home run hitter in New York Mets history!
What's wrong with that?
That's fine.
I think it's actually pretty
good.
His
own private iceberg?
Ah.
He's a polar bear. It's a little goofy, but it's fine. It's not over the top.
I didn't think that was over the top either.
Here's the other.
I'll tell you, the only call I've ever thought was over the top was the Bartolo Colon home run call.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I totally understand that. I agree with you. But the double out of here, to me, is reserved for postseason moments. Like, anytime you ever hear the double out of here, it's like that's like, you know, every other time I hear that, it's a huge moment.
Okay.
It's Benny Agbayani 13th inning in the NLDS in 2000. It's Pete's home run against the Brewers. It's Francisco Lindor's home run against the Braves. Like, it's Mike Piazza's home run in 9/11, which wasn't a postseason moment, but obviously had huge significance.
Fair. I'm not going to argue any of that. The only thing I would say to the double out of here in this call is I don't think off the bat anybody thought it was out. And it's almost as if when it carries, I think he's almost surprised by the moment, which is where the double out of here comes from. I don't think if that was a Titanic icebergs, if that was a huge home run in the third deck and left, I think you get the double out of here. I actually think it's the fact that it carried over the fence.
All right, let me try to think of a. So his one in Milwaukee, would he have been calling that one? I forget because
no, that was ESPN.
All right, so all right,
that's why Howie's call was so big.
Did they call the Lindor one? I can't.
He did call the Lindor and the one in Atlanta game 161.
Yeah. All right. So find that one because that was a no doubter. Essentially,
absolutely.
Like the Milwaukee one was not.
See, I would think if you see, especially from their vantage point, he's really good with reading the ball off the bat. Gary very rarely is surprised by a home run. But if you get one that is like a no doubt about it, that thing's gone, I think you get into your home run cadence and call. Something like that, you don't want to get too excited too early because if it hits off the wall, you got to play it and still have an idea of what the hell's going on their bases. And then all of a sudden the thing clears. And I really do think it might have caught him a little bit by surprise. Because even if you see it off the bat, it doesn't.
I don't know, man. He sounded pretty. He sounded pretty excited when he hit the ball.
Yeah,
it wasn't like Alonso.
I didn't say that. Either way, you knew it was going to be a big base hit. Turns out to be the home run.
Okay.
It was still a close game at the time. Yeah. I don't know. I just think that's part of it. I don't know. That right there, it still looks like it's going to be off the wall.
I know. Yeah, I still think, though, I've just heard so many double out of here.
No, I get
big
it.
Big moments.
And I understand
this is like total, like, Met dweeb minutia. But honestly, I don't know. Like, there's so few of these postseason moments. I don't know. I just, it's not, like, the personal record stuff or the franchise record stuff is never something that would get me that excited.
And how about, especially for a guy that may not be here next year?
Yeah. I mean, and that conversation was a big one yesterday as I was listening, driving back from the airport. I don't think that anything Pete Alonso does in this regular season is going to affect whether he's here or not. However, I do think that the postseason will determine it. I think it's a lot easier. And this is also a franchise previous regime that let Daniel Murphy walk after he was unconscious in the postseason. I mean,
now he won a batting title, didn't he, with Washington?
Yep. And then you have, you know, I think David Stearns and Steve Cohen, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And they're just going to say, forget it. We're not going to, there's another team willing to pay you X. We're just not going to do that. And hey, it was great. Got a couple bobbleheads out of it and some moments and sold some tickets. All right, here's the Gary Cohen Lindor call. I'm curious to see if we got a double out of here on this one.
And Lindor gets under one to center field. Harris going back. It's back near the wall. And it's out of here. Linsanity again. Yeah. Francisco Lindor flips the script with a 2-1 homer. Right. And the Mets go in front 8-7. Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, that helps your point a little bit there, Jerry, on this one. All right, it's all right. I got it.
And he gave you the old Bob Murphy, oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, Ron was laughing like, oh, God, they're going to go to the playoffs. I was hoping I could go home. Didn't he laugh like that? Like, oh, wow.
It seemed like it.
No, we know Ron was thrilled that they were making the playoffs.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know. The stand on his own private iceberg was a little silly.
Fair. To me, it's nothing. I didn't hear Chris go crazy about it. I don't know that I'd be going nuts over that.
Yeah, two things wouldn't go nuts over, but, you know, the down goes straw on the private iceberg.
I understand the point about the straw thing. It doesn't affect me or phase me in the least, but I could see it. I could see, especially when Eddie's like, it bothers me. Okay. Hmm. Or didn't like it, whatever he said.
I'm not doing that, Eddie.
Okay, you got to stop with these little comments in the ear. Don't.
Think
better of it.
No. It's not like a cross the line thing. It's something I don't think you're going to like. And he wants me to say it.
Okay.
He thinks that you're our Jeff McNeil.
Oh, yeah, fine. I haven't heard that before.
Is Jerry our Jeff McNeil? Getting the job done, sort of a bitch about it.
F you, you pig.
There you go.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What'd you think of the down goes straw on the ball there, CeeLo?
Fitting.
Fitting for Pete.
Assuming he wrote it, by the way. I know he
signed. Why would anybody else?
I don't know. You know, sometimes the equipment guys will, you know, commemorate something. They take it off to the side. It's possible. I know it's his autograph. Maybe, I don't know, maybe someone else wrote that part on the ball. I'm just saying we don't know for sure. That's all. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
You know, I never thought of that because I'm like, why would someone take the liberty of writing whatever they wanted on that ball?
I would say it's unlikely, but, we don't know for sure. Unconfirmed. How's that?
Okay. But you're not like offended by it or anything.
I mean, I'm not a Met fan, so no, I'm not offended. I don't hate the Mets. I guess if I was Daryl Strawberry, I might be a little offended.
No. Daryl at this point, man,
all right.
He's all about the Lord. That stuff's not going to affect him.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
If you saw the other day, posted something about, you know, he's flying somewhere to preach.
To preach, right, which is, I think, part of why he wasn't at Citi Field this week. Maybe unrelated, but... If he had a little scheduling conflict, because I know he was there, on last week or last home, one of the nights he was there where he had a chance to.
Maybe that's why he posted that thing. He was like, maybe that's why, like, hey, for everybody asking why I'm not there.
Yeah, could be.
Previous engagement.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Spread the word of the Lord.
Plus, how many times are you supposed to follow the team around?
Yeah.
This isn't the, I know it's the Met record, I get that, but it's not like the sacred baseball record where Major League Baseball is going to keep flying you all over the place.
Here's a question for you. If Strawberry is there, if Daryl attends this game and then
gives him a bro hug or whatever afterwards. Is he writing down go straw on the ball?
I don't think so. That's kind of why I brought up Daryl as, as a factor here. He did put out a little, you know, congratulations video, which I'm sure you guys saw on social media.
I did not.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Me either.
It was, you know, short and sweet to the point.
Congrats, Pete.
Nothing earth-shattering.
Yeah. I, you know, he posted a lot of stuff. I didn't really look at a lot of social media because we were so busy.
Yeah.
Until yesterday. A lot of busy stuff.
Yes, busy. It was a busy couple of days for
you. It really was. There wasn't much downtime. And what I mean by that is to sit there and scroll and sit. Like, we were always doing something.
Going from one thing to the next.
Yeah,
as you should. I mean, you're out there to pack in as much fun and experience as you can.
The funniest part to me, though, was, and I think I showed you this. I think you saw this. I posted it. The first video, Al wanted to do it like a scene setter when we first got there. Mm-hmm. And so I hit record, and Al looks into the camera and goes, where are we again?
Yeah, I saw dude. And he also called it the Atlantic Ocean at one point with Eddie and had to be corrected that it was the Pacific. No offense to you guys. I mean, you know, I'm a golf guy, but I enjoyed the Eddie and Al content, I think, the most out of everything that I saw. And Jerry's putter video in the pro shop.
Yeah.
The gentleman behind the counter, had, without really having to speak much, was pretty funny.
He was laughing inside.
He used the word shoot, too, which was funny. He was like, shoot, this is $380.
Yeah.
Shoot. All right, CeeLo, what's happening over
all
there?
All right, sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Also brought to you by Roto-Rooter. Leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter. Since the trade deadline, Mets and Yankees are now combined 6-17, as both teams are clinging to one-game leads in the respective wild-card races. I want to press us with more sound from last night. Mets gave up 9 in the fourth, lost to the Braves after leading 6-0 through 2. You got Kodai Senga pitching tonight's rubber game at 7:10 on Odyssey Mets Radio. Yankees are off after failing to complete the sweep of the Twins. They lose at the stadium 4-1. Paul Goldschmidt could end up landing on the IL. He's got a knee sprain as the Yankees have the day off before visiting the Cardinals in a series that begins tomorrow night in St. Louis. You brought up the Mad Dog stuff with Gary Cohn. Do you want to hear any of his?
Sure.
All right. Well, we can do that. So this was part one as part of his, you know, what's dog all mad about, fired up about, as he takes issue not just with Gary Cohn, but with the celebration of Alonso passing Strawberry in general.
Nobody in Metville that I know, and I know a lot of Met fans, after a stretch where they've lost 11 of 12 and have allowed the Phillies to bury them in the NL East. Now we're going to make big deal about Alonso's home run. And I love Gary Cohn. Did you hear this call? This is a little over the top. Can we play it, please? Can we play it?
All right, so eventually they played it for him. Yeah, they were just like, we're playing it. Relax, you know, give us a second.
The one thing
here.
I would say I would agree with him if that came in a loss.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's kind of out of your control a little bit.
It is, but in terms of, like, I could see if they lost another game and they had this crazy celebration, at least it
they flirted with it a little bit. It ended up okay.
I understand.
But, yeah.
At least it did come in a win, though,
yes.
Which does help.
Here was the backside after they played the Cohn call.
You can't even tell me what the home run record was before this nonsense. This is ridiculous. And by the way, if the Mets love Alonso so much, why did they pay him in the old season, for crying out loud? He was the free agent. They didn't want to pay him a nickel. He bounced around all over the place, and then he came back basically with his hat out. Please sign me. And then you saw what the Mets are doing tonight. This is a team that hasn't won in weeks, and this is the home runs. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Hojo!
This is not the Yankees with Garrick and Ruth. I mean, this is the 254 homers. I mean, that number's ridiculously low.
And what he
referenced, it's like asking ChatGPT spit out a Mad Dog rant. You know, every Ruth and Gehrig. You know, it's like every little thing in there that you could possibly have. I mean, also when he says that the Mets didn't pay him a nickel, I understand it wasn't a long term deal, but they did make him the highest paid first baseman in the history of the game, did they not?
And he's got the option for next season.
He does.
Right.
Yes, which he very well may use. So
I don't know that he will, especially coming off. He's going to drive in 130 runs. I'm sure he's going to go to free agency.
You guys might not have. Let's see. This was from the post game after the prior night's game when he hit the home run and broke the record. And he was asked how many years he wants to play. And on the back end, that there was a little, you know, not subtle, but a little message for the front office.
I have a goal to play baseball until I'm through my age 40 season. So that's, and for me, I'm going to work hard and do that. And you know what? Business side, Steve and David, they got to come through.
They got to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have to, but I think a lot of Met fans would like to see them to an agreement.
Good timing for him to throw that out there on that night, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that if he's trying to curry fan favor.
Such a hard thing, though. Like, and this is the problem of being a GM or an owner having to make this decision. Like, he's going to end up with, my guess would be, he's going to hit 40 home runs. He's going to drive in 130. He's going to score 100 runs. Is this the top? Like, how much better does he get? And I know we always, you know, you talk about guys get paid for what they're going to do. I mean, in this case, are you paying him for what he's done? Do you think he can continue at this pace? Because he's not 25 anymore. You know, like, that's the hard thing. And if you don't re-sign him and he goes somewhere else and he's hitting 40 home runs, you're going to look stupid for not re-signing him.
I don't think a lot of these guys get paid for what they're going to do. I think when they, in baseball.
They all get paid for what they've done. They all do. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what to sign them for.
Right. Outside of maybe in Soto's case, since he hit free agency so early.
You're paying him for it. You hope he's going to do.
Correct. Most guys, it's for what they've done.
You know what's going to be awkward, though, is the fact that tonight they're going to have a little ceremony for Pete before the game after last night's debacle.
Wow.
So, you know, you were talking about the whole thing. What if they lost that game?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was supposed to be before
the rain impacted that. Yeah.
Well, new audience, new night. I know a lot of the same Met fans will be there, but
That's another unnecessary thing for this particular thing. Is an additional ceremony? I mean, you had this night. Do you need? I mean, what?
No, I would agree with you. It's a little overkill.
Yeah,
I mean, you do agree with Dog then? That was part of what he said.
I don't.
He said, "You see what they're doing tonight?" That was.
Okay. Then that part I agree with.
Which we know it didn't happen because of the rain. But when he did the rant, we didn't know.
I didn't have an issue with anything that happened during the night. I thought there was a nice little thing. It was exactly what the Mets needed at that point. Unfortunately, they came out, and what happened last night happened last night. Yeah. But I had no. But to like bring it back tonight,
mm-hmm.
especially after that disaster.
I know, but they what are they going to do? Cancel because they lost a game?
Of course. I would. I was Steve Cohen. Enough of this.
All right, fair enough.
You told me that we got to step up. Here's me stepping up and canceling your ceremony after you said that.
Let me get to this just because I mentioned it last hour and before we run out of time again. So BT was invited to join Sal and Jerry. I know you're not going.
Yep.
As guest of Mike Francesa at his golf club on Long Island. I think this is coming up next week.
Next Wednesday,
okay.
I believe.
And BT was
really stressing
out about this on the air, hosting solo on Monday. You know, normally a lot of bravado and confidence, but confidence in his golf game and his swing these days very much in the toilet.
But I just look like a complete dweeb. I look like an absolute loser, like a physical zero as an athlete.
All right. Which, you know, and he's
a physical zero.
Played D1 baseball. And we see him, we move around. He's definitely an athletic guy. I mean, we understand he's been through some injuries.
He also learned to swing left-handed because of back
issues. He went through all that. This was an extended thing for a good, I don't know, 6-7 minutes. It bled into the next hour, actually, and he broke down the whole thing. I guess in any point in a round, he actually will hit shots from both sides, depending on what kind of club and how much distance, so on and so forth. So in what should be an enjoyable afternoon, you know, with some colleagues, that he's having a really hard time getting into the right mindset.
It's something as simple as going out, having a couple of drinks with, you know, three good people in my industry, and it's like I'm paralyzed with fear. Honestly, what the hell is wrong with me? Wow. Ugh, it's such a loser with golf.
I mean, I've been paralyzed by fear with this game many times. I mean, when I, like, first tee, Wally Szczerbiak, Cal Clutterbuck, and Boomer Esiason, and me, not, like, I actually asked out of that with Boomer. I said, who are we playing with? He told me those guys. I said, I don't want to be there with that. He's like, oh, come on, stop it. You know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, fine.
Now, no disrespect to Jerry, Sal, and Mike, but what you just laid out is a little different than BT joining those three for a round of golf. So, I mean, just to be fair.
True.
You know?
There's no reason to be nervous around me.
Right.
I'm very capable of hitting a worm burner off the first. Sal doesn't play.
I know Mike plays and he's got lessons and I'm sure he holds his own. But
yeah, Mike's not bad.
He's not Cal Clutterbuck, Clutterbuck piping at 315 down the middle of the fairway, you know?
Yeah, right.
Or and maybe then, 330.
But I will tell you, he hits a lot of fairways. I will tell you that.
That's fine.
So does Joe B, by the way.
Hitting a fairway is one thing, but, you know, you've played with Cal, and he's got some distance, right?
Some distance.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
330, doesn't he?
330. I shortchanged him, 315.
I mean, it's insane what the man can do.
Yeah, I don't know why BT would be so nervous.
He's really sweating it, and I guess from this, the last one, very slippery slope, as he's learned from a few times he's played so far this year. A
couple of rounds I was okay. A couple of rounds I was just disgusting. And I'm so fragile where that first swing on the range, if it's a good one, I'm like, all right, here we go. If it's a bad one, you would think it's the end of the world. I'm like, oh, God, how do you grip this? I've got 9 million thoughts in my head, and I'm absolutely cooked. Done.
That is stunning to me.
Yeah.
Knowing him the way we know
right?
him.
Right? That's what jumped out to me about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but the game of golf can do that to any man.
Yes, I know that.
There's few games that will do that to.
And if he was playing with Boomer and the group you just mentioned, I'm with CeeLo. Yeah. I understand that feeling inadequate.
Right. Like Mike's
around
not hitting
us.
Mike's not hitting his 7-iron 205 yards.
No.
You know, and sticking a green and then turning around going, "Hey, what do you got?"
Like, I can't hit a driver past 225. Please. It's embarrassing.
Was it Sands Point or North Hempstead? Which one? That's a big deal, which one he got invited to.
Mike, which?
I don't remember.
Where is he taking him?
I don't know, because I can't go.
I don't know.
Because one's like a really nice place.
I will tell you, I went to the really nice place last year. Sands Point we went to last year. Just
beautiful
gorgeous.
Place.
Yes. It's awesome. My guess is it's probably there, but
okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Not sure.
I mean, because if that's the case, you got to go there. But you've already been there, so.
I was there last year, yes.
Okay. All right, CeeLo, we're late, so we'll see you next hour.
Sounds good.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry in for Boomer. It was funny, Roscona was texting me something about what we were talking about on the air, and I'm walking out into the newsroom texting him back, and then he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
I said, I had no idea you're here.
Yes.
I'm texting you, and you're 10 feet away from me.
I saw him a couple minutes ago myself.
Yeah, I thought he was the guy who got the invite when you couldn't play this year with BT, Sal, and Micah, because he said, oh, they're playing this particular course. Mm. And I went, oh. I said, did you get the invite? He's like, no, I did not.
Oh, okay.
So I'd love to know who that fourth is.
I don't know.
That'd be a good one.
I don't know.
You know, it's not going to be Boomer and me. You know
probably
much.
Not. Probably not.
You know that much.
Yeah.
Wayne is in Seattle. What's going on, Wayne?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Wayne. What's up?
So I grew up a Mets fan in the 80s, and I loved Straw, and I obviously loved that team. And the whole ball thing doesn't bother me one bit. And here's why. First of all, Pete and Straw clearly have a relationship, and I think that's important. And then the second thing is people are going to remember now it was Straw because they will see that on the ball, and it will bring up memories, and people can tell stories. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to see that? Is that ball going to stay at Citi Field, or is Pete going to take that and put it in his living room?
They do have the Mets Hall of Fame.
There's
there.
Pictures of it on the internet, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I guess. But I mean, I mean, that's one of those things. Like, you take pictures of fireworks on the 4th of July. When are you going to look back at it? You know what I'm saying? Like, is anybody going to look back at that ball? Like, no.
That is an interesting one, though. That to me could either be Pete's to keep or could go in Mets Hall of Fame there at Citi Field.
Hmm.
And they do have a lot of cool things there. I don't know if you've ever walked. I'm sure you've walked through it. I mean,
yeah, no, absolutely.
That would make sense.
You know, here's the answer to that. Pete signs a 3 or 4 year extension. I think it goes in the Mets Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
Pete plays for the Rockies next year. It goes in his living
room. Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Let's go to
Pete at the Rockies. Good Lord.
Yeah, maybe. Angels.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso on the Angels. Jeff in Oceanside. What's going on, Jeff?
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Hey. Good, Jeff. What's up?
Hefner has to go. And let me rant a little bit.
Yeah.
The pitching has been awful. Awful. It can't get any worse. You fired him. So the Stars go one inning as opposed to three innings. And everyone says he's a guru. He's been around since this manager or that manager. I've been a Mets fan since 1973. This is ridiculous.
In 2022, their pitching collapsed at the end. 2023, they were awful. 2024, again, their pitching ran out of gas. You can't lose to a team that's a million games under 500 in your home with 38,000 people in a pennant race when you're up 6-0. Last year, they had more walks than any team in history. This year, they have more walks than any team in the league. What kind of guru, what kind of, I'm sorry, the facts are the facts. Their pitching not good.
Yeah, Jeff, well, right now it's the worst in the game. You cannot just casually throw 2024, they ran out of gas. You can't just say that. Now, Sean Manaea clearly did, but the Mets aren't in the NLCS without their pitching. Mm-hmm. I mean, it carried them at stretches. And, you know, there were guys that you expected nothing out of in the beginning of the season that ended up being, you know, some of the top pitchers in the league. Now, that being said, forget about that, and we're in this situation now. I would have never thought at any point last year or the beginning of this season that Jeremy Hefner's job would be in question. But if this continues and we see another month and a half of this type of ineptitude and they miss the playoffs, he's gone. You cannot justify keeping him around if this pitching continues to tank and they miss the playoffs.
All right, fair enough. But let me ask you this. Did he sign them? Did he sign Clay Holmes to be a starting pitcher?
I'm sure that there was a ton of input from him.
Maybe there was, but at the end of the day, you also have a GM that does not believe in. I think that's on the record, or if it's not, the proof is in what he's done. They don't go out and give big money to starting pitchers. You want to say $17 million for Frankie Montas is big money? I don't think so, although it's a lot of money for a guy who's now going to be a bullpen arm. Sean Manaea's contract is nice, but it's not 7 years, $280 million. Kodai Senga's got a nice contract, but it's not 8 years and $300 million. You know, he was given Paul Blackburn this year. And at what point do we not, like, when do we just not blame the players? Like, David Peterson, in the fourth inning last night, not being able to throw a fastball. And I'm not saying that Jeremy Hefner is Teflon. I'm not saying that at all. And you're right. If this continues, he probably will be out of a job. I'm not arguing that point. But can we, at some point, get on Kodai Senga for nibbling the crap out of the plate instead of being good in the strike zone? Can we get on David Peterson last night for just completely losing it?
Yeah, I mean, we have, certainly.
It's everything.
But you know that the contracts for these players, not easy to move them. You saw that they, you know, demoted Frankie Montas already. Maybe they trade away some of these guys in the offseason. Just a lot easier to deal with a, you know, lower salaried employee and a pitching coach than it is to change all rotation. We all know that. But yeah, I mean, of course, it is on these players, but this is just so exceptionally bad.
Across the board.
I mean, it went from one of the great stories in baseball last year to a thing right now that's just, it's
pitiful.
I mean, it's a horror movie.
I agree. And that's why I don't argue the point that if it doesn't get better, he will likely be out of a job. I understand that. But I also do think at some point it is on these guys to pitch to their capability, to pitch to the contract they were given. In some sense, like the idea that the Mets have one pitcher and it's David Peterson that's gone 7 or 8 innings, like that is mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, it's been the entire freaking season, too.
It's August 14th.
Yeah.
I mean, they've played 100 and what, 120 games? I mean, it's, oh, God, it's just terrible. It really is.